Blog Talk Radio.
This weekend, that Passover, the law can be followed. If you truly love God and would like to follow Him, okay, we're open to that. Elder Lawyer, you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, you can bring in your camera anytime you would like. Okay, good. All right. All right, we're live here. The audio is back. All right, let's go down the line. Let me go to the calls. Who knew that the Most High hated feast days or holy days of the Gentiles? One moment. All right, 515-605-9327. We have Sunshine live.
Oh, hello?
Hey, Sunshine, where are you from? Are you in Jamaica right now?
Hello, Elvis? Hello?
Yes, hello? Calm down. Are you in Jamaica right now, sister?
No, in the West Indies, in the islands.
In the what islands?
Birth Elder.
You're in the what islands? Come on, work with me here.
An island. Hello?
The what islands?
The Virgin Islands, Elder?
The
Can
Virgin
you hear
Islands.
Me?
Okay, yeah. Because we had a lot of people in the Passover wanted to put a face with the giggle. And I'm like, I think she's in Jamaica. But it's okay.
Oh.
Yeah, one guy said every time you come on, it sounds like someone tickling your feet. But it's all right. I mean, but let's go. The curse of holiday celebration. How was your Passover? How was your Passover?
Oh, wonderful.
Okay, great.
Shalom, elders, oh, I'm so grateful. Oh, I'm so grateful for everything that I've received with this church. That you're talking about to dissuade us or change our minds from the keeping of the holy days, like Elder Lori was saying, you know, when we were talking about the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread that we're experiencing right now, it's sheer hypocrisy that's highlighted, because we are told, like Elder Lori was saying, not to follow the Feast of the Most High, that with the Sabbaths, we know our sign between us and Him and a statute, as it says in Leviticus, to keep throughout all of our generations, so that the curses that have fallen upon Israel, especially, and the whole world can be reversed. So the answer of right or wrong, like you were saying, is clearly seen, because we're saying yay or nay directly in obedience to what I said that we should do or should not do. And from a personal stance, I lived in both worlds. Before the truth, I was an avid religious follower of as many pagan holy days as that I could find, as I could seek. And in lifestyle of the curses, I would teach my children to do so. Decorate the Nimrod stick that they call the Christmas tree, how to seek out those four-leaf clovers and bunny eggs. I was into all of that. After the truth, I've been so blessed with a true purpose and understanding of what the reason of why we should follow the Most High's holy days, His feast, and how keep us in humility and connected to the heavens, understanding the depth of Christ's sacrifice. We have a chance to escape, like you said, the crowds in the torments of hell. And I now know my purpose as a woman to inculcate in my children the love of Christ in these feast days. And right now I'm in the heart of it. And these are the best. I was on that other side of the fence, and now I'm on this, and I'm so grateful for it, because the feasts are absolutely wonderful, and I look forward to them, and I don't want to let them go. Praise the Most
there you
High.
Go.
Praise the Most High. Oh, bless you, Elders. Bless you.
And I'm going to tell you, it feels so good to hear sisters talk about this, because it's through the women the tradition is instilled in our children. And see, and this is why the pagans have worked tirelessly to make these celebrations, to pattern these celebrations more towards women. because it's the women who instill the traditions. It's women who, you know, you get with somebody, next thing you know, it's cupping season, and next thing you know, they got a stocking with your name on it. It'd be women with all that. There's stockings to hang up under the mantelpiece and all this old stuff. Because why? It endears one to family tradition. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, Elder Lord, you know how it is. Near Christmas, what happens? You have the girl comes outside and there's a big bow on the car or diamond gels, and diamonds is the girl's best friend. And they pattern it towards what? The woman. Like we read of in the book of Jeremiah, because women carry the tradition and values and instill it in the family. The men are workers and protectors, but it's the women who work to instill the traditions and values in a home. So it feels so good to see that the Most High is breaking that curse, and we're hearing now the reverse of the curse amongst our families, amongst our women. I'm gonna tell you, those Satanists are quaking. They're shaking in their boots. Okay. Next, you can come in anytime, Elder Lawyer. All right, we have Daryl. Yes, Daryl has a question, Brother Daryl.
Yeah, that's me. Shalom, elders. How y'all doing?
Shalom, sir. You have a question, Daryl?
Yeah, this doesn't have to do with the lesson. It was just some research I was doing on my own. I was looking up the Apocalypse of Paul, and I was looking at it on Amazon, and I came across the Apocalypse of Peter, and I was going to order it, but I wanted to get some edification on that as far as the history or anything like that, of what you guys may know about that particular book, and if it's something that goes coincide with the Bible or not.
Well, no, the Apocalypse of Peter is a second century plagiarism using its name. So that's off. Okay? But still, I would still like to keep things in the framework of this particular on topic. Passover.
Understood.
Did you celebrate Passover last weekend?
Yes, I did. I wasn't there for I wasn't there in Pennsylvania, but I was with a body in Indy, and went over to a brother's house, and we celebrated there.
Okay, when you first started following the holy days and found out you were a Hebrew, an Israelite, what was the response from your family?
Mostly with my family, when I went to celebrate certain holidays with my family, even after I got into the truth, because I was still like connected to them that way. And I was like, well, I don't do all the extra stuff that y'all do, but I'll come hang out with y'all, because I still had that attachment. But the response I got to them when I started like, no, I'm not doing this, my first response was, well, you did with us last year. You was with us last year. Da-da-da. What changed then? It's like, because I started realizing the spirit behind it and decided to detach myself from that, where I didn't want to celebrate the day. I didn't want nothing to do a part of it. They pretty much just turned aside, like, all right, well, you don't want to come celebrate. You know, some of them were acceptable of it. Some of them, they, you know, I had arguments back and forth with some people.
Okay,
and everything like that.
Okay, let's focus there. Why would they argue with you? Number one, it's not like you're denying Christ.
God.
It's not as if you're saying you don't believe in the Bible.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If you were a Jewish person saying that you're following the Torah, I'm sure they would have no problem with that. Right?
Right.
So there's no pushback with Jewish people following the Sabbath. So we need to ask, why is it sacrilege when our people, who are Israelites, who are Jews according to blood, decide to to follow what's exactly in the Bible? Like, why is that so taboo? So I'm putting that question out there also. Why can we accept other races following the Bible or the law, but
I feel like when, and this is something this is what I experienced, when you so used to doing certain things with your family, and then you change up, and it's not that you saying the Bible is wrong, I'm an atheist now, I'm a Muslim now, I do this, da, da, da. Even if you were these things, they wouldn't give you no pushback on it. But when it comes to you finding out you're Israel, I think a part of it is like you exposing the thing that they believe in, that they claim they believe in, and that they follow to the T. You expose it to a sense where now you personally don't want to follow it. If they choose to do that, that's on them. But it's like, because you did it before, they quick to just be like, okay, well, that'll make you better than me. What you doing is wrong. I'm doing it because of my kids. I'm doing it because of my family, da-da-da-da-da. Like, what's wrong with that? They try to, like, sugarcoat it. Oh, I'm not, you know, I'm doing this for the kids. I do Christmas, you know, pagan holidays for the kids, da-da-da, even though I know it's wrong, but I do it for the kids. But it's like when we tell them, you know, we're supposed to train the child on the way that this should go, they bother, well, there's nothing, well, God isn't against family. That's what I got before. God wouldn't want me to stop doing things with my family. That's what I always used to get a lot.
So they would get offended. They'll take it as a personal indictment against them when it's not that at all. Right? They'll take it like, if you're deciding to do this, by default, you're saying what we're doing is wrong? So it's all of that. Okay. All right. I can understand that, but I believe a conversation should be had, right? That it's not an indictment. You can choose to decide to continue if you would like, but don't you want to understand why I've taken this stance? It's not an indictment on you. I found out that the world is worshiping Satan. Right. Thank you, my brother.
Yep, Tom.
You know,
the water.
Yeah, I don't think they'll take that too well either. All right. I'm going to place you on hold for a second. All right.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We have Peter. Peter Ronald Hayes. I'm going to bring you in one moment. But before we do that, Elder Gabbar, I think Elder Gabbar is on the scene. The man I've seen, you know, that had those salsa moves the other day. Hold up, where is he? Elder, there he is. All right, Elder Gabbar in the house. How you doing, Elder? Yeah, turn on your microphone, if you will.
Mic check, one, two.
Okay, yeah, I can hear you now, Elder. Okay, you went out again, Elder Gabbar. You was there, then you wasn't.
Mic check, one, two.
Okay, you're fine. You're fine now.
I'm good right now, Elder?
Yes, you're good.
Okay, outstanding. Okay, I just make sure I switch over to the right mic. How are we doing, Elders?
I'm blessed by the best, man. I didn't know you had those salsa moves. I've seen you in Ephraim.
Yeah, Puerto Rican salsa, it's like I have to represent for my people, Simeonite. So, absolutely. You know, Elder, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
The question I was asking yesterday on, you know, my podcast in regards to leaven, right? I think that the title of the show was Are You Fit to Remove the Leaven? And I guess the leaven could be several things depending on just your circumstances and your personal life. But I left the show asking a question to the gentlemen that I was doing the show with, and the question was, what do you think is essential that we have to remove leaven-wise as a church? Or in individuals, you know, you could discuss it as a group or individually speaking. What do you think is essential that we need to remove leaven-wise? And we know leaven is sin, is lust, is things that is the flesh, right? That something within your flesh that you're struggling with. As a church, as a body, what do you think is essential given what's going on politically, prophetically? You know, we all know what's going on with all the prophecy being fulfilled in a daily basis. What do you think we need to remove as, you know, leaven-wise as a body?
Okay, well, Paul always talk about that when you look in the epistles, that battle of that man in the flesh, that he understand that man will always exist, but he thanked the Most High that he's able to put that under subjection. Understanding who you are and who you were, and the fact that you can be baptized or whatever, that's not going anywhere. And the fact that you're in a daily struggle to actually bond that man, and so that you can exhibit self-control. Now, that's the analogy you were saying, but Christ made it clear what leaven we must abstain from. Christ said, listen, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
He made it clear. The leaven of the Pharisees. Now, when you go to Leviticus 23, it's what? Hypocrisy.
Right.
That's why he said, listen, they sit on Moses' seat. Do as they bid, but don't do after their works, because they say and do not. So they may teach the law, but they're not really about this. A matter of fact, they may talk about the prophets and the honor of our forefathers and how they stood for the Most High in Christ in faith, but in their heart, these same men seek to kill me. So he's talking about what? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Christ knows that we're not perfect. He knows that we have struggles in all these things. But don't try to put something on someone else when you know you're not right in that. Right? And that's what the mm-hmm. Pharisees were doing. The Pharisees was on this high horse as if they were perfect according to the law when they were evil. Evil intent, doing what was wrong, but yet standing as the righteous before people. So all in all, I would say in a nutshell, because that's such a open-ended question that can lead to 3 hours of dialogue.
Yeah.
Right? But at the end of the day, it's knowing yourself, know you stand with the Most High, self-examination, and begin to fix what we know is wrong according to God's law. And that's more so an individual task. As leaders, we must implement things like we were discussing, and that's something private where we begin to unify the brotherhood to begin to go out there on the streets and bring our people and make our people conscious of the threat they're under right now. Okay, with the sodomites over our society, with the laws that are being passed, like for instance, a lot of people don't know the woman, the black woman they put up there for the Supreme Court. We must now look at laws being changed that would lead to dealing with children. Pedophilia will be legal eventually with this woman up there in position. A lot of people don't even know about this. But they're going to change laws at the executive, at the Supreme Court level, that will make it okay. And how do we know that? This woman has a track record. Now, they put this black woman up like this is some type of accomplishment for our people who's married to Amalek. Now, you can marry who you want. That's your business. But who knows what type of evil this guy is into that she married. Okay? And on top of that, they put her face up there, but you'll never see the man she's tied with. The same with Kamala. This woman that was put up on the Supreme Court, who got confirmed, this so-called sister, has a track record of letting what? Giving sex offenders light sentences. She has a long record of this. Okay?
Yeah,
so now that
yeah.
she's on the Supreme Court, what's going to happen? From the Supreme Court level, because they went from one level to now they're aiming towards the children. So I'm just putting that out there. Like, I wouldn't say leaven. I'm just saying we just have to circle the wagons and come together and let our brothers and sisters know in the inner cities the threat they're under, politically and otherwise. Okay, and that's just a movement we have to do. We have to get on those streets, talk to the people, and let them know, you know, hey, that they are about to be replaced by Ukrainians. And, all right? And so how are they going to make space for the Ukrainians? How are they going to make space for the Afghanis? Well, I'm going to tell you how. Depopulation. Depopulation and those that are in our community that are under duress politically and otherwise and socially, that they're targeting to take their children. Why? Now, why are they doing this? Because they know the truth is here now. The truth is in the earth, and if they don't get a hold of this generation, we're The people of the Bible are going to steer this thing right. We're going to get to the children, and this next generation will fight against the evils that they've propagated against us in the earth. Okay? And I'm just saying that in general. But yeah, getting back, I don't know how I digressed there because it's a broad question on so many things we have to put together in a short time.
Yeah.
But all in all, Elder, he was talking about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees in particular. That's hypocrisy.
Absolutely.
Because one thing about it, you don't have to be perfect.
Right.
Right? But you don't have to be a hypocrite.
Right. Right. I think because the hypocrisy, that could, that's a broad statement as itself, because sometimes you could be a hypocrite to yourself, lying to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you could be, you know, delusional is another form of that. So,
exactly. So that's what it's talking about when it talks of leaven.
Yeah.
It was because when you go into the precept, it's exactly what those Pharisees, they was coming off as if, well, it's all about Moses and the law. But when you look at what these guys are doing when the scrolls are rolled, they're doing the exact opposite of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's why Christ looked at the Pharisees and scribes and said, ye without sin cast the first stone. When it came to that woman in adultery. See, they wanted to stone her. But if a further conversation was had, since she's an adulterer, suppose Christ would have asked her in the midst of all these people with stones, were you with anyone else in the crowd besides this one man you were caught with?
Mm-hmm. and where was the man?
Oh, you see?
Exactly.
Exactly. So that's why he said, ye without sin cast the first stone. What sin was he talking about? The act of adultery.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, if she's doing what's wrong, speaking with someone else, this can't be the first guy she was caught with. Is anybody, and you know Christ knew, is there anybody here that we would like to discuss concerning this woman's adultery?
Right. Adultery is not a sin you can do by yourself. It's impossible for you to commit that sin by yourself.
Exactly.
Right.
So, I mean, obviously, I mean, if she was caught doing something wrong, you can't think it was the first time, right?
Right.
And obviously, if it's a crowd there, it must have been somebody else that probably was hanging out with her too.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, Christ was looking right at these cats. Okay. So, no, don't stone her. Let's have a conversation.
Because she was caught, according to them, she was caught in the very act. That means she was caught with the very act with the guy she was doing it with.
Yeah.
So what happened to that guy? I'm curious, right? There got to be some writings out there talking about that. I'm just curious what they did. What, he bribed him off. Why he was not there? You know, and that itself is showing the hypocrisy.
Exactly. Beware of the leavening of the Pharisees. It's the worst kind.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our own struggles, but it's one thing to try to tell somebody not to do something that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we can have these conversations. You know, this is how we talk sometimes, folks. Don't worry about it. We have these deep. Okay. And don't forget tomorrow. You know, we're going to put some food on or whatever. I know you're going to be here tomorrow, so we can have some. All right, okay. All right, let's go to the next one we have, and y'all can share this with me. If y'all can jump in any time, elders. I'm going to go to the other screen, but jump in any time, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. We have now Ryan. Ryan has a question.
Byron.
Oh, I'm sorry. Byron, I'm sorry. Don't worry about it. I can see now, Byron. I'm sorry, Byron. You have a question?
Okay. Shalom, I have a question. I want to dialogue with you about the question that you're asking. So my question is, can you do a class on all of the holy days and specifically what to do and how we should celebrate them and stuff like that? Because going into the question that you asked last year, I did the Passover. Well, I just found out that there was a church here in St. Louis, so I'll be attending the church from this point on. But last year, I went to a restaurant, I took my computer, I sat in a booth and closed the curtain, and I watched you guys on my computer.
Okay.
I took my unleavened bread with me. I had wine and I did all of that. I sat there and I ate lamb, and I just watched the play and everything. I was in the booth for hours. This year, yeah, I stayed there the whole time and watched the play and everything. This year, I cooked my lamb and did my stuff. But I was thinking to myself, I didn't really know. Well, I mean, with this being the Sabbath, am I supposed to cook? When am I supposed to cook? And am I supposed to be cooking? So I was unclear. Now, I know you, Elder.
Let's deal with this in layers.
Uh-huh.
Right? First and foremost, Leviticus 23 makes it clear the days of the holy days, and that these holy days, when it says you shall do no servile work, that means work for money, and that is the Sabbath
uh-huh.
unto you.
Uh-huh.
If you're able to take the day off as a holiday, right? But if
uh-huh.
if you have to work or lose your livelihood, that's when grace covers you. Right? Because that's when grace,
right.
when you want to follow it, but you can't. So the grace covers the days you can't do it. Right?
Right.
Now,
okay.
when you say, should I cook or shouldn't I cook? Absolutely, you should cook. And some people who are trying to say, well, according to the law, you're not supposed to do this. Hold up. It tells us that the priests break the law every Sabbath by doing the service. Okay.
Okay.
So they uh-huh. have to cook the lamb. They got to do all that. They have to throw the lamb in the fire. They have to sprinkle the blood and all that. They're working.
Okay. Right. Correct.
So if you're under Christ and you have to cook, you can cook on that day.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Okay.
Because you're covered
okay,
under
right.
the grace of Christ. All right.
Gotcha.
All these people
okay.
talking about you. Listen. All the people, you can't do this and you can't do that, they don't understand the grace of Christ. And this is why Christ told the Pharisees, those hypocrites, going back into what Elder Lawyer was talking about, Elder Gabbard was talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. Christ says, if one of your ox fall in a ditch, will you get it out on the Sabbath?
Right.
So he
yes.
says, there's
right.
one here that's great. He says, even David went in and ate the showbread from the priest. That was forbidden to eat. And he says, there's someone here greater than the temple. So when usually when people tell you, you can't do this and do that, they try to put you under subjection. They're trying to say, well,
okay.
look how holy I am in private opposed to you, when they're really hypocrites.
Right, okay.
If you're serving
okay,
the
yeah.
Sabbath, you can cook on the Sabbath. You can cook if you're doing the meal to the Almighty, because there's no priesthood here. So now you're
yeah,
doing it on earth. You're doing it on earth with Christ covering you. Christ is covering you as priest before the holies of holies in heaven.
Okay.
You got it?
I got it, Elder. Thank you.
And
thank
see,
you.
That,
I really
see,
appreciate
see, and that's the issue with people. I'm saying in general, because the internet is so broad and all that. Where you go to this guy or that guy and he's dealing with this law and that law, you're not supposed to be doing this, not supposed to be doing that, without understanding the spirit of it. And these
well,
are the
well,
same people. I'm not talking, listen, brother, when I got thousands of people here and I'm speaking in general, and I'm not talking about you.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because they'll go here,
no
well, this guy teaches about the culture and all this, that, and the other, but there's no balance concerning the grace of Christ. And when that applies.
Okay.
So I'm glad
okay.
you're asking that question. This is not an indictment. This is a teaching lesson. This is a teaching moment.
Of course.
Right?
And that's why I call the action. Okay.
Exactly. It is not no indictment.
Yes.
You have to understand, but a lot of people, they'll just sit in their house all day and turn off the light and just be in the dark and thinking they're following the Sabbath.
No. Okay.
And if they want to do that, guess what? It's all good. But don't get
uh-huh.
mad if I'm getting something out of that day helping my people. That's your
right.
business. If you want to pull the shades down and don't use no electricity, that's your business. The Most High didn't say
right.
anything about that.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome, my brothers.
Okay, you have Shalom, Shalom.
Shalom, and keep on following, and soon you'll be doing it with us. Okay, Hakeem.
Oh, no doubt.
I'm so good to see Hakeem.
I plan to be there next year at the Passover, Elder. I plan on getting baptized, and I plan to be there next year.
Amen.
Okay.
The spirit was in the house. I'll tell you that. I'm still riding that spirit right now. All right, thank you, my
man. Okay. Shalom.
All right. Shalom. Okay, we have Zaya Kwa. Zaya Kwa has a hand raised.
Shalom, Lord. How are you?
I'm blessed by the Almighty, blessed by the best, and his name is Ahaya. Talk to me.
All praises. So when we first came into the truth and we're like getting into the new holy days, I had a lot of people looking at me like I was crazy whenever I'd be like, hey, happy, it's Passover, y'all. And they're like, what in the world is Passover? I even got made fun of recently by my aunt who was like, oh, why you got a song about Passover? You shouldn't have a song about Passover. It's not that. It's not all that. And I'm like, well, dang. And
well,
shouldn't
you ask, like, church-going folk? They believe in Christ, right? They go to church. They believe in God. They believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
And don't know about Passover?
Right.
That's what I was about. I would have said, you know, the day that he was given up, the you know, the Last Supper was his Passover feast, right? Our people just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our people think the Last Supper is a painting. But go
That's
on.
That's the worst part, Elder.
But go
yeah,
on.
And today I was talking to someone about it. She was like, what's Passover? Mind you, this girl that I was speaking to, she goes to church. She was not at all that familiar with the Passover and the meaning behind it. She'd read it in the Bible before. She goes, oh, so you celebrate all the holidays, like Christmas and then Passover. I'm like, no way.
Oh, man.
And
I mean, you know what? But that really shows how irresponsible our modern-day pastors are.
Mm-hmm.
How can you talk about Christ and the blood of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, without teaching Passover? Passover, I mean, in the Bible, he told the disciples, you know, go to this man and purchase a lamb so I can keep the Passover with you. That was the Last Supper.
Right.
That's so irresponsible. Can you imagine Peter not knowing what the Passover is?
No.
So it's an indictment. It highlights the irresponsible shepherds that are over churches right now.
Tongue.
But go on.
Because I've heard it mostly that's all about Good Friday and then rising up again 3 days later on Easter Sunday. And that should have been, looking back now, that should have been my first clue that something wasn't right. Because there's only, a day and a half between Friday and Sunday?
Yes. I mean, they don't expect us to even be able to count to three.
Right. You know what?
I'm like, oh, my God.
Seems like all of us were stuck there at one point in time, but all praise to the Most High, we out of there.
Yeah.
Doing the right thing.
Well, thank the Most High. How was your Passover, sister?
It was amazing. I think this was my fifth Passover, and I think this was the best one we had yet. Like, there was just something different about this one.
Did you attend it in Pittsburgh, or where did you go?
We attended in Pittsburgh.
Oh, man, it was something else, wasn't it?
It was so amazing. I took a picture with you.
Oh, praise the Most High.
That's why I was like, oh,
praise the Most High. Oh, man, I didn't want it to end, but, hey, I can't wait for the next one. Eventually, we'll all be doing it together in Zion, but, it was a great Passover. Thank you for attending. All right?
Thank you for having me. Double honor to
you,
daughter.
All right. Bless you, sister. Boy, I know the devil is angry. I tell you that. I know the devil is mad. Look at all these bricks we're pulling out of this satanic kingdom. 661 area code. All right, I gotta come back to you 661 because I'm playing in the background. Please, if I call your phone, if I call your number, you must make sure it's total silence in the background. Okay, we have Pastor Ronald Hayes in the house.
Yes, sir. Shalom, elders. How you doing?
Shalom, Pastor Ronald Hayes. You have a comment?
Well, I was just looking at the broadcast and thinking about things that's going on. And I'm the one that called you. That was last year. You're supposed to call me back and told the guys if I called back to get my number and stuff. And I didn't hear from nobody.
Don't worry about it. I'm going to write you down right now. And I apologize for that, but I'll call you back.
No problem.
Pastor. Should we say happy Passover or happy Easter? What are we doing here?
No. I told you, I'm already. Me and my wife, we in the academy and everything. We changing our lifestyle. One day at a time. We looking at what God is doing. We going against the grain and family members and people that we know not understanding. We just doing what God wants us to do. The Most High wants us to do. And it's been a blessing. I mean, we've been in the academy for the last academy right now. Been learning some great things. I mean, it's been powerful. Your ministry has really taught us some things that we know about things like this before. I mean, you know, Hebrews and lights and all that kind of stuff. But we had to put it in perspective. You know what I'm saying? And take our time and let God guide us and the right timing. So right now, we've been doing. What God wants to do. It's been a blessing. I mean, everything you've been doing on the broadcast, Elder, I'm telling you, it's a blessing. You put things in perspective so we can learn and grow and
the Most High.
Show people that we know that's still not woke and stuff like that how to get enlightened, you know what I'm saying? And it's been a blessing. We thank
God. Well, let me ask you a question, Ron, Pastor. Because you know, others out there listening are curious to how you've come to where you are right now. But let me ask you a question. And, you know, I don't like to say, there's no such thing as far as I'm concerned, a question being the devil's advocate. But I'm gonna leave that over there. I don't know what the haze that is. But on the other side, someone may ask, how did you substantiate or confirm the belief in Easter as a Christian pastor? When someone asks you, why are we celebrating Easter as a Christian pastor, how did you confirm your belief in that day, which is a key holy day of Christians, amongst parishioners or those who came to church? What would you say?
Well, basically, what we were taught, I mean, we were taught a Eurocentric, you know, doctrine from Catholicism. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, every religion that's substantiated in the earth realm has been under Babylonian, you know, captivity. So guess what? We were just doing what we were taught. I mean,
So what was that? Somebody might ask, well, what was that? Like, okay, it's Easter Sunday. It's Sunday worship. If someone asks you, well, why are we doing this? Was there anything in the Bible that substantiated those practices that you can think of? If not, it's fine, because don't worry about it. We're going to rip it from the rooter to the tutor this coming Sunday in the academy.
No,
to show you that
everything.
Because there's very few things that Christian churches are actually following according to the Bible, when it comes to Christ. Very few things. But go on. The floor is yours.
No, we were just basically being hoodwinked and teaching from a Eurocentric doctrine, like I said, because everybody did it before us, you know. So we did it. So on Easter Sunday, you know, that's what we did. We said Christ rose on Easter Sunday. I mean, he died on Friday. Same thing, you know, Christians been doing for centuries. I mean, it's been over our head all this time, but I thank God for the Most High waking me up. I mean, I thank God, because guess what? The Bible says, you shall know the truth shall make you free. I know the truth now, and truth is making me free. Praise God.
Well, how did you wake up being a pastor? Because understand, brother, to know the truth and take a hard stance, you know, there's a chance you'll lose everything. A matter of fact, usually that's what pastors are up against. If you decide to walk away from paganism, you must adjust yourself to lose everything, including those who believe in you or follow you. So the question is this. How did you get the truth concerning yourself being a Hebrew, an Israelite? And when did you decide to walk away from the church?
Elder, the church walked away from me. The Most High took me out of it, and he made the pastors who was around me. I knew all the main pastors in Christendom. They walked away from me. So the Most High took me out of that stuff and put me in the place of aloneness. And made me understand the truth. So it was no going back. It was no, you know, thinking about it, no procrastinating. It was all the Most High, me and him, you know, and my wife, you know what I'm saying? So
what you mean they walked away from you? What was the setting? Y'all were together and happened that led to the
They didn't have to tell you get out. They showed you wasn't welcome. I mean, in other words, they push you away by not talking to you, by not letting you come preach at their church or whatever, you know what I'm saying, whatever the case may be, you know. And by me being in the Word already, I knew the Word, but I just had to get the truth behind the Word through the indoctrination of the Hebrew Israelites, you know what I'm saying. So therefore, now when I look at it, it was the Most High all the time. You know, I felt bad because they were shunning me and pushing me aside and nobody to talk to, whatever, but the Most High was talking to me. He was doing it for me, you know what I'm saying? It was a blessing. It wasn't a curse.
So they began to disassociate themselves with you.
Yes.
And was it because you began to question things, or?
Yes.
Oh, like yes. What?
I mean, everything. I mean, the way service was going, the doctrine, the like, for instance, me and my wife, when we were teaching in our church, we had in Dallas, Texas, people were understanding that we were teaching, but it was going against what they was, you know, teaching us already and stuff like that. So therefore, it's like, wait a minute, these people are strange. You know, something different about them. But at the same time, they knew that we were doing what was right and teaching what was right. But at the same time, we were being ostracized, you know what I'm saying? It's like talked about behind our back, lied on, ridiculed, persecuted, you know, it didn't feel good going through that.
Yeah, went through. Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. So, you know, I'm right where I'm supposed to be at, in other words. I'm right where I'm supposed to be at. So another question I'm going to ask for you.
Go ahead.
I talked to the deacon down here in Atlanta, because we in Atlanta, and I know you told me they had one in Atlanta, but I talked to him. He told me they wasn't up and running right now.
Oh, no. We're looking into a new building now. We'll have something there in no time.
Right.
So don't worry about that. Within a couple of weeks, we looked at be up and running back in Atlanta. We just segued in between buildings.
Right. But the Most High got a way of doing things. Like, the timing is perfect, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm on the phone with you right now. It's perfect. I know you say you're going to call me, so I'm just waiting for you to call me.
I wrote your number down. I will call you. I'll call you after Patreon Friday. I'll give you a call. I got it right here, and it's not going nowhere. I just wrote it down. All
right? Yes, sir. No problem. Shalom, Elder.
Well, thank you.
God bless you.
Okay. Now, look at that. Look what the Most High does. Got pastors coming into the Hebrew and Bible Academy. Hey, and I forgot, I did have his number, but I have it right here. I got it written down, Ron. I'll give you a call, because now it's time to start pastoring our people. I mean, they're being controlled by the letter people. The letter people are all up in the churches, staring things politically and destroying us from the inside. I'm going to be talking about that soon. Kakum Shakur has a comment.
Shalom, Elder Ricard.
How you doing, my brother?
Good. Just wanted to let you know it's a beautiful thing that you're doing from way back in the day to now. And been following you and looking forward to going to the next Passover. So keep on doing what you're doing. You know it's Lamont, right? Kakum Shakur, right?
What Lamont? Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, brother. Been you know, following your teachings. I know you went to Jerusalem for a while, I believe, and lost contact with you. But
listen,
yeah.
I'm the one who gave you that name.
That's what, yes, you did, 21 years ago.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this. Oh, Ahaya is great.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been thinking about you so much, man.
Likewise.
I know that.
Yeah.
Let me write this down. Isn't this? I knew your voice. I'm like, you sound familiar, Lamont. You have the daycare center. You still have it?
No, we don't have it. I'm still. My wife and I are married 38 years, and she say hi. Say hi, Crystal.
Hi, Carl.
Oh my goodness.
And, you know, our daughter is.
Hey, brother, there's churches all around the world. And believe it or not, I remember we started off in like, you opened up your daycare center for us.
Yeah. We had some good times.
Oh my goodness. Man, listen. Let me, I'm writing your number down right now, brother.
Yeah, that's really? My house number, but if you still have one of your old phones, my cell number is still the same. But I can always give you that if you reach out and someone leave a voice message.
I'm going to call you, but you have anything to say or just let me know you're still kicking.
Yeah, I'm just letting you know I'm kicking and, you know, keep on doing what you're doing. And Most High, you know, we talked about all this stuff back in the day and Most High is, you know, going through you and going through the whole flock, man. So it's beautiful. I just want to say that to you. You have something, Crystal?
I just want to say that we've got our baby girl is 16, and you would be amazed at how in tune she is to the Most High. We're talking about a young lady who studies
every day.
She keeps us on our toes.
Praise the Most High.
Yeah.
Praise the Most High. Hey, it's coming around full circle. Ain't it deep that all the stuff that we were talking about when we were in that little place is going down right now?
Yes, it is.
ain't that crazy?
Wilton Street, 46th Street, your house and daycare. Yeah. It's all
it's
good.
Happening, it's happening right now. They're moving to cryptocurrency. When COVID happened, they put the whole infrastructure in place. And we were just talking about it at that time. We were just discussing the real ID, whether or not somebody will take the real ID. We're way past what they're about to do.
Exactly.
And what they're about to do in the inner cities is absolutely crazy. I'm going to call you.
And keep on doing what you're doing. I know
videos?
You will.
Have you been still following our videos and the teachings and all that?
Yes, I have, but I'm going to sign up for the further stuff that you have on Saturdays and Sundays. I know you have a program. It's called what again, just to be clear?
It's called the Hebrew and Bible Academy.
Right,
worldwide.
Hebrew Bible. Right,
yes.
Exactly. Yes.
Man, I am so excited. I prayed that the Most High would keep you and your family, my brother. And I don't even know what to say. I'm speechless.
Yeah.
You know that's hard to happen. That's hard for anything like that to happen. I'm almost without words. I'm excited, man. I'm going to call you, all right?
Okay. Love you. Take care, and shalom.
Oh, man, you know I love all you, man. I love you, man. All right, my brother. Look at the Most High bringing the band back together. Ain't that something?
That, song, you got, that song in the beginning is amazing.
Oh, Ahaya's calling back Israel.
Yes, that song is amazing.
You know, me and Barack did that, and Lamont did the up the street. He did the track for
us. Oh, okay. Wow.
Him and Barack. Yeah. But we still moving it. Have y'all heard? Man, I'll call you, man. I'll call you.
Yeah. I know you're doing your thing, and people are waiting. I'm glad I got through. I told the guy who put me on hold, I said, he'll remember my name. Kakum Shakur.
Yeah, I see Kakum Shakur. I'm like, ain't that something? All right, my brother, I'm going to call you up.
All right. So.
All right. Shalom. That brother was there. He was there during the week that he, like, we went out and other brothers, we was all in one house and did a 7-day no food, no water, which is in the spirit. And the fifth day, the Most High gave us his name. And at the seventh day, we was all done and we began to teach, baptizing that name. He was a brother that was there during that time. This is, oh, look how the Most High is gathering. Oh, my. Anyway, woo. Cora has a comment. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years. It was just like 30 seconds ago all that happened. All right. Shalom, how are you?
Shalom, Elder. Hello.
Oh, well, yeah. Hey, that was a Passover gift by the Almighty right there. But go on. I'm listening. Yeah.
Okay, but said the truth will set you free. Well, I found the truth when I found GOCC Church back in 2013. And once I turned loose of the pagan holidays, I am so free from stress. I might have mentioned this before, but for the new listeners that have known this, I mean, I'm trying to get ready for Christmas. And I remember one year I was making my $3. I was making their Easter clothes. I stayed up all night, then went to 6 o'clock Easter sunrise service and nodded through all the service. And so, I mean, but I don't go through that anymore. It's just observing all these present holidays. I just breeze right through them and enjoy myself. Friday, I cooked them the roasted lamb. We had our dinner and everything, and just everything just went fine. And
look at that.
So free of stress, just stress free and so peaceful, and everything is just great.
Well, sister, did you notice that when our people found out that we were the people, that we were the actual people of the Bible and began to come back to the knowledge of being Israel and that Christ was actually a man who looked exactly like us? Do you notice when we started believing in that and knowing that in number, did you recognize that the whole earth turned atheist?
Well, I know that.
As long as we believe that they were the people, they were the authority of the book, and that we were Gentiles, I mean, you couldn't find an atheist anywhere. It seems like it tilted the scales once to let you know, even though they act like they aren't looking, the other nations are watching. Because everything we started saying on the street and all that, don't think they didn't go back into their records and begin, they studied, I'm talking about the Gentiles, whether you're white, Chinese, right, whoever you are. They were studying what we were teaching just to gainsay us, just to say, no, you're wrong, and couldn't find anything to the contrary. And they started looking at the book and was like, oh, they are the people. Well, you know what? If we're not the people, and there's no authority, no spiritual authority we can have over them, what good is the book? I would rather go Zen. Okay. Listen, you couldn't find a Buddhist statue after they found out we were Israelites. They were all Christians until they found out that we were the people. Ain't that something? Go on.
Yes,
you couldn't,
but then
now you can't find a Buddhist. You know what I mean? They sitting there with their legs crossed. They got their hand up like that. I'm like, they just sitting there like, they doing yoga now?
Yes, they are. But I have also found that in trying to, inform, you know, or instruct my fellow man about this, I get pushback, especially like from family. Well, mommy, you shouldn't try to force your religion and beliefs on other people. You know, when I'm trying to, you know, explain, you know, why we shouldn't be eating this and that and why we shouldn't be celebrating. I'm told I shouldn't be trying to you know, impress my religion and ideas on other people. And all I'm trying to do is just inform them.
Yeah, you
so that I get pushback for trying to inform people.
Yeah, hey, never stop. Teach the gospel. The world needs it. All right?
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. Shalom.
Shalom. I'll tell you what. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, I told y'all that the world is going crazy. I mean, they got a full, I'm going to tell you, the world going crazy. Ever since they found out we was the people, they just went totally left. You got grown men with wigs getting women of the year, all types of stuff going on in the earth right now. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. You got a full grown man that's beating women on swimming teams. Just, mm-hmm. You know, just straight up, just a full-fledged man must be called a woman and shattering every record. And I'm waiting for, let me tell you, I'm waiting for an NBA-type character to join the WNBA to totally just smash that thing up. Just let MB with a wig on, just go through, he's going to smash that up. And I think after that, Babylon will totally fall. Let me tell you.
Absolutely. Hold on.
I'm going to tell you, when you live in a world that you're talking about the disrespect of women, would minimize the power and the grace that comes with being a woman to a degree where a grown man can now take over, control everything and be called a woman of the year. It's over. It's over. And I'm ready for an NB type character to just be 360 dunking on. Just like, listen, let's get this thing over with. You know? Yeah, I'm gonna tell you, it's over, folks. But go ahead. I'm gonna be talking about that next week. We're in Passover week. I'm gonna keep thinking on Passover zones, but let me tell you, this world has gone back crazy since they found out we were Israel. It's like, listen, since we don't have no authority spiritually, we're going all the way left. But go ahead. What you have to say, Elder Gabar?
Yeah. I was reading an article a few weeks back that was stating that that every society that has collapsed in past history is when they begin to question gender and begin to be fluid with gender. And the Roman Empire, that was, you know, one of the many things that collapsed and things of that nature, that anytime you break away from the family structure,
mm-hmm.
Man, women, children, and man being the protector, women being the, you know, the comforter and all that, once they start experimenting with gender, that's the beginning of the end for any society. And I want to see, you know, going back to these guys that are, you know, breaking records, you know, with wigs on or what have you in the transgender community. Why is it we don't see women that are transitioning into men competing with men? Why you only see men that are transitioning to women competing with women? If we want to have equal situation, right? Shouldn't that be if a woman should compete? You know, a transgender woman who wants to be a man should be go compete in boxing or something like that.
Yeah, but the reality is they wouldn't make the team.
Exactly, and they know that.
They wouldn't make the team. So the whole deal is there's a genetic construct that makes a man. Okay? And it doesn't matter what you take. Nothing's going to change you from that initial biology. But the reality is what they're doing on purpose is shattering. They're shattering common sense
mm-hmm.
on purpose. This is warfare. Up is down. Left is right. Male is female. Female is male. This is how you deconstruct an empire where there's no absolutes, no line anywhere when it comes to behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of society.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And without the Bible, which is the measuring tool of all of this, there's no way to actually get a grip on holding these people at bay as far as their behaviors. They're not going to stop. They've let them They've let the nuts out, and the nuts are controlling everything.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get any credit. Listen, this is why the Most High told Lot, listen, get your family together, right,
mm-hmm.
and get out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Because this thing is only good. The only thing this thing is good for is fire.
Mm-hmm. And I what's crazy about it is that we're actually seeing a society that is being destroyed within in real
yeah.
time.
They're imploding it. They're doing it.
It's and no standing army. You don't. It's this society is collapsing. We're seeing it in real time. And now, what is it? Is it gender? Is a society spectrum, right? Or society concept? It's not reality. You're only a man because society tells you a man, right? You're only a woman because society tells you a woman. That it's amazing what Esau can convince himself. You know, because if let's just say transgender was only a thing that only Mexicans suffer from. Or you get only some rare disease or scenario you only see in some rare black and brown communities. You would not see anyone say, okay, we have to protect these transgender people. Transgender is the epitome of white privilege.
Yeah, so you have to realize it's a Trojan horse. Mm-hmm. It has really nothing to do with but it's making it where society can have no peace, no rest at any. It's really, it's psychological warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what it is. That's why they in the media and government is pushing this, because what they're doing is totally dismantling society or reality
mm-hmm.
as we know it. And it's on purpose. It's on purpose. And like I said, when I seen that grown dude swimming, when he got out of that pool, and he's shattering records. And I'm like, you know what? And I've seen these Karens, these white women and all that saying, this is not right. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
listen, you didn't say it was wrong
mm-hmm.
when you were using it as a political tool against us.
Right.
So now we are to look at this, and listen. Just get your popcorn ready, because Karen ain't gonna go for it. This battle is between them and Karen.
Yeah, this is an attack. I'm
like, listen, y'all let them loose on society when y'all needed to do circumvent us to take away our civil rights and finances that were for our people. You thought those nut jobs were gonna stop with us?
Mm.
They're gonna implode all of society. But I think that's all I can say right now. I'm gonna deal with this show next week. Gabar.
Okay, so Elder, so what you're saying is that these curses that were on us now is crossing over?
It's crossing over. It's on them now.
Hmm. Okay.
You don't forget, because we're beginning to follow the law, they must tip the balance with lawlessness.
Hmm.
So now they're going to let the nihilists and all the lawlessness to try to circumvent us coming into our power. So this is them using social kamikazes to just if they can't rule, they'd rather dismantle everything.
Mm.
So that's where we are.
Yeah.
That's where we are right now.
So the
social
more righteous
kamikaze, nut jobs. And listen, they'll put a woman midget with a beard. Okay.
Mm.
They'll just give her a role as a man, a woman midget with a beard, just because it's about changing the social construct of the norm to tip the balance. So we're going to be seeing all types of weird stuff going on, which is really a sign. And not only that, another thing it is, Elder Gabar, it's a bait and switch. They'll have us looking this way at all this nonsense they're creating, knowing that they are about to wage war on the earth, physical war.
Mm.
So they must use what? You got it. Psychological warfare to have us be confused with all these entanglements of society And at that point, they're going to start putting in laws to take away guns, pedophilia, real warfare. Man, I'll deal with this next Wednesday. Babylon the Great is falling forever. Next Wednesday, we're gonna go into what Babylon got for you. Whole thing. Listen to this, Gabar. I want to say this. If they can do this to reconstruct even the white, to deconstruct the white family, because what do you think they're planning against others? Mm-hmm. If they're willing to have a barely 6 foot dude on a women's swim team, suburbia.
I see. So it looks like it's not about black and white anymore.
No.
Right.
No, it's not black or white.
There's something else.
It's time for the Gentiles to join ranks. It's time for them to come all the way in.
Gotcha. Right, because it's not only happening in the ghettos anymore.
Yeah, Buddha ain't going to help you through this one. You better find the children of Israel, all right? All right, let's get the next one. I only got a few more. Cora has a comment. Cora. Yes, Cora.
Oh, I've already been on already.
Oh, I'm sorry, Cora. That's right. Okay, Zachary has a comment. Thank you, Cora, for helping us with that. Zachary has a comment. And I'm telling you, I'm just waiting for, listen, I'm just sitting back, you know what I mean? I have my flatbread crackers, and I'm just sitting back just watching this whole thing unfold. And I'm going to tell you, it's coming. A full-fledged Embiid with a blonde wig on, who identify as a woman in the WNBA. That's going to change everything out. Hey, what? It's coming. Where's Zachary at?
Hello, Elder.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, I just wanted to edify. This is Zach we were talking to a few weeks ago.
Yes, Zach.
Yeah, that was purposely done to prove a point that was took dramatic measures. I didn't really mean to misconstrue or mislead anything or get you in like a low point or whatever, but I love how you structured that, how you led it in the right way at the end. But I just wanted to make known that Esau purposely taught us a religion, Christianity, Islam, etc., whatever religion people want to talk about, because they didn't want Israel to rise as a nation in order for us to connect with our God, Ahia, like we're supposed
to. That's true.
They the Romans, Europeans, the Jesuits, now this nonsense with Ukraine, they all want to teach us to hate our true origin and history of the Bible so we wouldn't know who we are.
Okay.
So they trying to, especially because I was at Passover. That was the most beautiful thing was me is what you did with the babies when you called them come up to the stage.
Yeah.
So when you were at that young age and you going to church and Bible study and all that, when you going to Bible study in the Christian church, not we really knowing because we ignorant to the truth of what we supposed to be learning. The Esau, the bloodline, is trying to confuse Jacob's bloodline, trying to insult your cognitive mind, how you think, to contradict our forefathers' accomplishments, the tribe of Judah, because constantly running around the world, people just thinking literally the point, plenty of people of our nation, like they just comfortable. I'm like... What people are doing, like they just chilling in the grocery aisle, like reading the magazine. I mean, it's time to get serious. Cause I mean, I'm gonna say again, my attention wasn't to misconstrued or demeaning the true doctrine when I brought that up about doing Deuteronomy. I did that to prove a point. to the all the wickedness and everything going around, secret societies and putting around dirt and stealing your information and doing all this crazy stuff on YouTube to make the proof of point, the clean house elder. It's younger people watching you too. You changed a lot of young people's life. Christianity versus the true order, knowing you are Israelite, the poor value of Christian belief.
Okay, I got to get to the next call, my brother. So let's segue in.
One more thing, Elder. The last thing I'm going to say. I follow you because you feed over and over again, getting educated on the correct way, and the truth, the strategy, and the intangibles. Watching you changes my life and despise me. Watching you be confident and bold. Watching you teach our nation blesses my soul on a deep level. So, I mean, it's a lot I wanted to say, but I know you don't ready to have a lot of time, so I'll be able to tell you the rest, I guess, one day when we meet up or I send you an email or something.
Well, thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. Great.
Or could you call me later on when you have time?
I will call you, my brother. All right, bless you.
Oh. Kwame Asharaba, Elder.
Okay, all right.
Kwame Asharaba.
Kwame Asharaba, my brother. Kwame Asharaba, that brother, yeah. Dedicated brother. Yeah, let me show you some madness that are going on that I'm going to be talking about next Wednesday since we're here. And I think I'm going to cover this in the news articles, how they letting the satanic freaks out against our children next, using the same campaign they did that led to what we're seeing now, right? Real quick, let me show you real quick. Let's show you. Now, when you see this woman right here, they always try to put up a sister as a front piece to make you believe that there's some accomplishments are being had that can help our people because a black woman or a black man has been chosen for a high office, as if that's some type of achievement, right? So when you see this woman, Ketanji Brown Jackson, you usually see her by herself like that, make you say, go on, girl. Go on, girl. We've made it. But nah. See, this is her husband or handler. Okay? But they will never show you this guy in the black neighborhood. Right? That's her husband. Right? Now, you can marry who you want. That's your business. But there's some sketchy things going on concerning all of the sex offenders she gave a light sentence to as judge. But she was able to lock up a lot of our people. This is not an accomplishment. If this woman, she got certified through Biden on the Supreme Court, which means we can see going forward a lot of lax laws concerning pedophilia, where pedophilia is going to become a preference. Because what they do is they find women like her as children and groom them into position and use them as front people, as if what she's bringing forth represents us. And everything she's dealing with is immoral. She's immoral. The people that's around her are immoral. And they're going to use her as a front piece to pass laws that will make pedophilia legal. Watch.
And Elder,
I
got to say something if you don't mind.
No, go on.
I don't know if it's you, but I know that there's a pattern of type of sisters they put in front of,
yeah,
you know, as leadership.
Men,
you know,
haters.
You know.
They put women in position who they know has a problem with the black man.
Yeah, it's like, let's go down the list. Remember Free McMills? Remember that sister that was the judge? Pamela Harris, our vice president, she got the history of locking up black men and withholding evidence that could have freed those men.
Yep.
Okay. Right. She was and very tough on crime with particular black men. And this sister here, same situation. But what is scary is now, it's a caveat. She's light on pedophile. She's hard on crime when it comes to our people. But pedophilia, she's light. That's a twist for me.
Yeah. See, and a lot of but for some of us, because they think we're stupid, that's good enough. They put a black woman in front smiling, not realizing she was groomed. No telling them what she went through to get to that position under Biden, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, Shapat said this. Shapat brought forth proof that the next agenda that they were pushing. 7 years ago, elders in the academy, he said, listen, they're going to use the same political construct through the media that led to same-sex marriage to make pedophilia a sexual preference. And this is why they're going from either side. A man can be a whatever, a woman can be whatever, because then what? You can have a grown man who identifies as a 16-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If a man can say that he's a woman, how can you stop him from claiming that he's really a 15 or 16-year-old inside?
Mm-hmm.
So the next level, so all of this was leading to this. Child sacrifice, Moloch, create reprobates, grown men and women dealing with children without any criminal recourse was the plan. Same thing happened during the time of Lot. As it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, it has now been made legal right under everyone's noses while they're looking at the Ukraine.
Hmm.
No children anywhere are safe. But I'm going to leave that for next week.
Mm-mm.
Come on.
Yeah, absolutely. I just noticed that pattern. And for those that may be hearing this show, you know, this show is worldwide, so you may have non-believers listening and may misunderstand what we're saying. We're not saying that black women are evil or black women are, against black men. What I'm saying is that they are choosing certain black sisters.
Yeah.
That we do know that we have sisters out there in the forefront fighting with us. And,
yeah.
And they know, and they are against the sisters they are being put in the front line to represent our people. So we don't want people to misconstrue what we're saying.
Hey, Gabar, we sat there last weekend and seen a house full of thousands and thousands of women who would never fall to such
They're not putting those sisters up there.
But these are people who are groomed.
Exactly.
They find these people young in school and groom them for these political positions.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all types of sexual depravity and all that has to go down for them to get from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And these are they that they'll dress up, put makeup up, and make you believe that it's a black achievement.
Yeah.
When these people don't, none of them represents us.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is what they do. What I'm doing, I'm looking into her husband.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking into because they always have him playing the background and make it think that she's a go-getter. She's got some power. She's a mover and shaker. Nah, she's not.
Yeah.
She's a face to make us believe that we have accomplished something, but our children aren't safe with people like this in position.
Absolutely.
And then what they're going to do when the hell hits the fan, what are they going to do? The same thing they did with Barack Obama. They're going to say, well, listen, it was your people who wanted those laws passed.
Mm-hmm.
That was a black woman who pushed that. The same way they didn't push gay marriage. There was no such law allowing gay marriage until they had a black president.
Mm-hmm.
So that if we try to push back, know that they're going to use they're going to have a social construct to implode us because these people, like them Karens are fighting back. Only one guy swam last week and the whole suburbs have circled the wagons.
Mm-hmm.
But this stuff affects us on our level.
Right.
Right? So As soon as it happens, they're going to say, well, it was your sister girl who was behind, who passed these laws in the Supreme Court. And that's why I was like, listen, our people need to move back politically and say, well, listen, no, don't have them use us as sock puppets.
Exactly.
We know that they use her for a front piece, but we understand what letter people who's behind all of these political positions that they're putting out there with a black face on it. And I don't want to go there because I'm gonna leave a lot of this for next Wednesday. All right, I'm gonna leave a lot of this for next Wednesday because I need some content for next Wednesday when we talk about what the Hades is going on in Babylon. And a matter of fact, that's what we're going to call it, AC. We're going to name it next Wednesday. What the H asterisk hockey sticks is going on in Babylon. And we're going to start off with the women's swim team. All right, next. All right. Let's go to the next one here. Sam has a question or comment.
I got to pick this up right quick.
How you got to pick it up real quick, Sam. Talk to me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I was just doing some work. I'm with you. How you doing, Elder? God bless.
I'm blessed by the best, and his name is Ahaya. Talk to me.
Hey, man, I just want to say I've been following for a while, but this past Passover, I was in awe. You know, I caught the since I believe it was Friday. I don't know if y'all had anything going on Wednesday, but just watching and seeing everything going on, you know, especially on Saturday, because I was at a wedding with my auntie. But I went to the car and I watched every last minute, even to the point when the thing went off when they were doing the food. I was on just to make sure I didn't miss a single beat. But I just wanted to say, as watching that, I'm sitting there like, why am I here and why am I not there? You know, because, you know, when you get to watch your people celebrating, and they're celebrating for the right stuff, because I'm a man, I've done a lot of things in my life where, you know, not good, but I've strived to do my very, very best, you know, and to watch that, I'm like, why am I not there? So I made a vow, I'll be there the next time, excellent, no matter what I do, what's going on and all that. But concerning with the holy days, I'm grateful for that because you knew something was not right, you know, but you strive on to continue to, you know what I'm saying, be and whatnot, because you don't know what's the right thing, you know what I'm saying? So when I finally got to the part where you actually started making, like giving the precepts, like, okay, this is the reason why, and I shut everything down. I come from a big family, a huge one. You know, I'm African by nature from Sierra Leone. So, my family is really, really, you know what I'm saying, big, and they're going crazy. I mean, this is one thing. When I, like you said, just mentioned earlier, you know, you'd rather be hot and cold. So I'm the thing. If I'm going to be wrong, I'm going to be wrong all the way. If I'm going to be right, I'm going to be right all the way. Because once you're starting to understand things, I know this much. The devil and God cannot say yes at the same time. Neither can they say no at the same time. So one of us is wrong. So we're going to find out who is wrong. So once they go to rapping, and I don't pay that no mind, you go in and say what you need to say. Because, you know what I'm saying, I'm that type of person. I stay my head clean. If I'm onto something when I feel like I'm right, when God beats me over the head, then I know, okay, I'm going to straighten up. But I find that this is right ever since the first beginning I seen y'all for the first day. So I just wanted to mention that. And I will say, while I was listening, there was a brother who was on there who did the poem. Powerful, powerful. I was moved by that.
Oh, man. The
spoken word. But I was looking through the comments. A sister goes, I wonder if this the brother who did the I was like, nah, I couldn't put it on the thing, but I wanted to tell him, like, nah, it's not me. So I just wanted to say that, clarify that, because I was the one who did the poem about 3 weeks ago. I hope to do one today, but I'm out. And I had three lined up because I missed when y'all doing the conversation about Africa, but I couldn't get on. But last week, I was not. So I hope to do something today, but I don't have my content with me, so apologies for that. But I hope next Wednesday, you know, I'll be able to, you know what I'm saying, give y'all four on that rim.
Okay,
but,
well, have it together. But when you come on, understand that we're going to be dealing in some deep waters when you come on next Wednesday.
Oh, it's all right.
Understand? I'm talking about some deep waters.
Okay.
There's going to be some deep waters when you come on next Wednesday.
I got no problem with scuba diving.
Coming to a swimming pool near you.
I got no problem with scuba diving. As long as it's the world with me, man. Yes,
hey,
sir. I'm good with that.
You're not going to be able to put your daughter in these waters. Next Wednesday, we coming with it. All right.
All right. But I wanted to say something. I wanted to say something through the spirit. If you allow me to speak freely and so I realized this and I know this.
But go on.
Yes, sir. I realized this ever since I saw y'all. And I know this. I don't know how I know. I just know in my heart of hearts this is. I don't know. It's true for me. Ever since I saw you, I realized when the history books are rewritten, and I believe they will. I believe GOCC, you, Elder McCall, Elder Lawyer, Elder Gabar, and all the rest, and even to the horrors of the ministry, your name, we will be reading it like we're reading of the Moses is today, the Joshua and all that. I believe that in my heart of hearts, and I know you know it for a fact. But I know because of humility, you cannot speak that out of your words. So I say I allow myself to speak that in that sense, because ever since I got here, I've experienced your spirit on different levels, you know. And if you allow me to speak that, I know that for true, because I remember the first time there was a lady who came on there who I believe is a pastor somewhere, and she goes on to try to batter you on some different levels and whatever the case, and the way you handle her, I can't even remember, but I was like, man, that is some powerful, powerful brother right there, Elder, and I want to be part of that. And then there was another couple of guys who came on, try to say this and say that, and then you will correct them on different levels. And then I believe it was a Gentile. I don't know if I'm wrong or right, but he came about the money issue. He was like, man, just call me whenever. You don't have to worry about money, da-da-da-da-da. And I know you didn't take it because, yeah, I still in the same position. But more importantly, it was I myself. Because I don't know if you remember, the first time we called, after I listened to a lot of people and all that, I came on there trying to act like I know something. You know what I'm saying? So I began to rat off my mouth like, yeah, and these was your exact words. Because the spirit, you knew. You were like, brother, stop being knowledgey. Just say what you had to say. I was like, oh, man, he found out. Like, dang, he knew. So off of that, I know you knew, and I know you are well versed in what you are doing. So I know this much, sir. I write quotes. I'm the one who do the poems. Like I said, I don't have my material with me, but if I got some T-shirt ideas, if y'all want to use it, it's there. So I just want to say. I spoke to Brother Jermaine because I've asked a couple of times to call me. I was in Florida because I move around a couple of times. I was in Maryland, but there was no church around me. But I'm back in Jersey. But I know y'all do got one right here because this is where I moved to when I came from Florida. I'm back here helping my family out because we need some need or whatnot. So I hope to get in touch with somebody out here, or even possibly if I could get on the phone with you, or we could talk about some things, because I have some things that I think I could use if not in that matter. So I don't know. I just wanted to say that right quick, sir. The floor is yours.
All right. Well, thank you, my brother. And be here for next Wednesday, man. The next Wednesday, I believe we're gonna keep it good. We're gonna keep it within the boundaries of the rules. All right. But I'm gonna tell you, it's gonna get real, real deep.
Yes, sir.
Real, real deep next Wednesday when we go into what the H dot hockey stick is going on.
Hey, I'm ready. I'm ready for war. I'm prepared. So I got. I'm prepared.
There's a new T-shirt.
We're talking about this, brother. We're gonna be talking about some deep waters. We're talking about.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about.
Oh man, this is good. I'm in the right place. I am surely in the right place, and I praise the Most High. This is a blessing.
Next Wednesday, man. Next Wednesday.
I'll be there. I call all the time.
Right,
I call
brother.
All the time.
Have your pole
yes,
ready.
Sir. I will.
Talking some deep waters. All right, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Shalom.
Yes, sir. God bless. Shalom.
All right.
Peace. Good evening,
bless
everybody.
You.
Lawyer and I.
We got you. Willie got a few more calls. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Willie got a few more. All right. 757 area code, a few more calls, and then we'll digress.
Shalom.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. This corn pop.
Corn pop. Okay. Oh, hey, how you doing?
It's about a bus.
All right. Okay. Talk to me.
Yeah, I just want to say that this was my first Passover, and it was nothing short than amazing. Oh, again, my name is Charles from the Virginia Body. I'm Charles from the Virginia Body. It was amazing. And I never felt it was. I was telling my wife we were on our way back to Virginia, and I was like, it was something different, something very different about the whole gathering. You know, I tried to tell people, yeah, we dressed up, yeah, we fed a lot of people, and it was a gathering, it was real nice. And to a carnal mind person that's outside of truth, they're like, oh yeah, that sounds nice, but there were you only had to be there, you know. You really couldn't get the element of the chemistry there. Everybody genuinely looking in your face and really wanting to know how you're doing, and it was the only way you could stop talking to people. You got to understand, I'm gonna be here forever talking to you, you know.
Oh
and,
yeah,
brother,
I tell people, unless you were there. There was a certain presence. Like I said,
yeah.
you don't know what it is unless you had the experience. And I've been to many Passovers. There was something different here. And not that any of them doesn't take away from any of the past Passovers, but it seems as if as we come closer to the kingdom, something is happening from Passover to Passover that's bringing a different type of togetherness. Amongst the body, the spirit was there, man. But go on, I digress.
And you said, and you speaking about the holidays, you know, around that time there's a lot of depression and suicides around that time. And there's a just serving the Gentiles holy days has side effects or I would say it's downfall, but when you celebrate the holy days, all of it is good. All of it is good. So
you know what I found? Know that I find that deep that the holy days was always an indicator for the controllers to know whether or not our people have awakened.
Yeah,
it has always been the indicator for them. They don't care if you are Islam, Aslam, Alaikum, and all that. Soon as you talk about being a Hebrew, an Israelite, or following the holy days, automatically it's like that movie They Live. They all come together by themselves and say, I think we have one who can see. That have always been the indicator to know that that Christ have broken us away from the program.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, that's how deep the holy days, because now, why? That's a different frequency. That means we've broken the frequency of the world that keeps us captive and are connected directly to the throne. And they know that because there's nothing they have taught in their schools, religious institutions that could have actually conveyed this information. And it's like they get together and say their God is speaking to them again.
Yeah, so with that, I digress.
Exactly. And even if you are an atheist, they don't even care. Even if you told your family you don't believe in God, they'll be fine with it. As long as you come to Christmas, As long as you're still doing the holidays, the things that bring you together under that spirit. But just to say that you're following the Bible and you're a Hebrew and you believe in God and you're following the Passover, automatically the world comes against you. That, I'm going to tell you, I believe that's the chief indicator. Every year during so-called cuffing season, near when people are done what they had to do in the spring and summer, and now they're trying to find somebody so that they're not looked at as strange for the holidays, festivities, and gatherings, you notice I be getting calls every year when one person wake up, a husband or wife, girlfriend or boyfriend, and one decides that they're not celebrating Christmas anymore. It's a big fallout.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, that's the greatest indicator in this world to know whether or not someone is truly woke. You have the last word on that. But go on.
But I would like to say, I mean, if, you know, Tabernacles, I was able to go ahead and get closer to my own body. And this Passover, I was able to get to closer to people that I even seen on Facebook and able to get, you know, put the face with the person. But I was sure enough looking for sunshine. I sure enough was, but
yeah,
all praises.
I call it cuffing season, because no sooner the sun come out in springtime, you know what I mean? As soon as springtime comes, you know, it's about giving us some space. But go on.
But yeah, I'm going to say this. Around these holy days, it feels like it's the Most High been leading me to speak to people and things like that. And I think it's, you know, he say it's fishermen, it turn into hunters. So that's what I feel right now around this time is, like, you know, God is leading us to speak to people, even with this energy that we take from the Passover, and it's still here with me today. So I praise the Most High for that. And a shalom
brother,
to
I'm
all
still
the
riding
the
that spirit, man, from last week. Yeah. From this weekend, it was nothing like it. It was nothing like it. And it's time for us to move this spirit straight from the heavens here on earth and warn our people that if they think this whack thing they've created through media with the Ukraine thing, how it's going to indirectly hurt our people. I'm going to be going into that too this coming Saturday. But thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Shalom to all the deacons and elders and all the saints and nations out there. Shalom.
Thank you, brother. And last weekend, hey, this was some Passover. Bless you, my brother. I can't wait for the next one. Bless you.
Rock and
roll. All right. Next, we have 561 area code. 561 area code. Matter of fact, hold on. That's Africa. I'm gonna get the call from Africa in one moment. Hold on. 561 area code.
Hello.
You're live with the Gather of Christ Church weekly broadcast.
Hello. How are you?
I'm blessed. You're live.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Okay.
I was just wondering about two things, actually. Where it says in the Bible on Revelation 13, verses 11, in regards to the red, quote-unquote, red dragon with two horns.
Revelation 13 and 11. And I beheld the beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So you're trying to ask in particular, what is that speaking about?
Is that talking about the major religions that we, the Israelites, are involved in and are truly deceived in?
Well, no. It's just speaking of what he's seen physically. Like, what he's seen was this dragon come up with two horns, but then it represented two separate things, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lamb because it seemed harmless, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet the words was the words of deceit.
Mm-hmm.
like a dragon. This is actually attached to that same beast that came out of the waters, a blasphemy. So they'll use the lamb like Christ, right? And that, and usually when they speak, they're calm, they're relaxed, they're using what? Psychology like a lamb, but in their hearts is what? Deceit, destruction, and death.
Okay, so you don't think that has to do with Christianity and Islam, considering that they're both?
Both of them are a part of the beast. It's not just saying, well, two horns, one Christianity and one Islam, because they both were created. Islam and Christianity came out of the Roman Catholic Church.
So both of them
appear as what? A lamb, harmless. But look at what has happened to our people since following those two religions. We've been totally decimated by the dragon. So it's talking about the overall ideology that would come from Rome. Got it?
Yes. Another question, extremely important.
Yeah.
In regards to, in regards to the... kind of just lost my train of thought. Okay. In regards to, let's say, that we're so lost into those two religions, and we are calling ourselves Christian. However, I did some good research, and I did find out that prior to us calling ourselves Christians, there were many Christ prior to the Negro Messiah as Christ. And the following,
what you mean by that in particular when you say there was many Christ. What do you mean by that?
Yes. The followers of Serapis Christus were also called Christians. And he was also considered as a Christ. And I'm starting to think that everything that was handed to us in some way has been a lie, and we have to undo everything, because the followers of Serapis Christus, way before the Messiah came, the real Messiah, a lot of
When you say before the Messiah came, are you saying before Christ came?
Yes, before the Messiah, the Messiah, the one that died, the one that the apostles were following, the one that we called Christ right now.
Okay, where did you get that? Who told you that?
Well, it's some deep research that I was able to look into in some books. I'll find it. And the followers of Serapis Christus were also called Christians.
Okay,
and
well, hold up. Let me level set this for you, okay? You ran into some false philosophy that also runs into, from that point, into the Merovingian thing. The Jesuits put all those misdirections out there that lead to atheist thinking. So that portion you just talking about, you can actually bury that, because that doesn't exist.
So you don't think if they lied to us in regards to everything, in regards
I know there was
a real Christ.
I'm not going to think at all. I need you to get, you have your Bible, because you gave me Revelation.
Yes.
Okay. Go to Acts 11. Let me know when you're there.
Uh-huh.
Let me know when you're there.
I'm almost there. Yes. Uh-huh.
Are you at Acts 11?
I'm there.
Okay, I need you to read the 26th verse.
Give me 1 second. Home and my Wi-Fi. I thought it would open up. If you can, okay, now it's holding on 1 second, please. Okay, Acts 11.
So where you at Acts 11?
Okay. All right.
You have Acts 11?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You do? This time?
Yes, sir.
Read the 26th verse.
And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Yes, I did that.
Okay, we're going to get it. You ain't get it yet. So this is where the disciples are first called Christians.
Okay.
Now, if you got some Christians before that, what you're telling me is that we need to do something about this verse.
Yes, let me tell you why. Because
why we need to do something about this verse?
Let me tell you why. Don't forget the Romans and the Greeks also had their Babylon gods, in which they thought also were anointed and were also called the Christ. Now,
okay. Hold up. Listen, because I'm only in the Bible. Show me that in the Bible.
Okay, I'll show you. If you just, it's not in the Bible when you go.
Okay. All right. Hold up. I need you to say that again. Say it once more.
It's not in the Bible.
Okay, listen. So what you're asking me to do is go into some, don't make me pull that swimming picture up. You're asking me to go into uncharted waters, and we know what's in there.
Yes, but just kind of get a little bit of what I'm trying to say.
No, I know what you're trying. Listen, sister, you're not the first person who actually said that to me. You know that? I heard that in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not bringing some new discovery here.
Okay, but what I'm trying to say is, considering the Greeks and the Romans did not accept the Negro, the black real Messiah, okay? Could it be that they use that name, which I don't even think it's even in...
What do you mean, could it be? It ain't no could it be, right? Sister, is it fact what you're saying?
Okay. Well, the followers of Serapis Christus will
call listen. I'm asking you. Is it fact? Could someone have made that up? What you've read from a different source, could that have been created by somebody?
Could a
liar? Thank you. So I need you to read Acts. Oh, ain't no but. But means you need me to hear something that could have been made up. So until you figure out who made that up, I need you to read Acts 11 and 26 again.
Yes, but when they said
No, ain't no but. Listen, read Acts 11. Sister, we're about to go through to the next call. Acts 11 and 26. Read that.
When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch.
Excuse me.
Yes.
All right. It's time. No, don't worry about it. It's okay. Hey, okay. I need you to read Colossians 2 and 8 for me. Go to Colossians 2 and 8, sister.
Colossians 2 and 8. Okay.
Now, I'm telling you that what you just said came from some nonsense someone told me about 30 years ago almost. And guess what? Mm-hmm. I went through this, believe it or not, I went through this same exercise to ask, can you verify the information you're bringing forth?
I can verify the quote from where it does say that one of the guys, the Greek gods that were there, that did call the followers of Serapis Christus Christians. That I can verify.
Okay, sister, this is circular because it's going nowhere. Because you can't tell me, you just said you cannot confirm whether or not that was made up.
Well,
Colossians, you know, this is where we ended. Colossians 2 and 8, read that.
Okay. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. My thing just came off.
through philosophy and vain deceit. Yes, I'm totally aware of that.
Okay, well, listen. No, you shouldn't just be aware of that. You know what you should be?
Mm-hmm.
You should be cognitive that this applies to you if you're pushing someone else's philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it contradicts what you read in the Bible.
But listen.
If it begin to contradict there, it'll never end. You'll go to another source that'll make it where anything in the Bible now can be questioned.
So do you deny that there were other anointed faith?
Sister, I deny everything you're saying concerning this because you don't know the artificer. I mean, you don't know the original author of what you're bringing forth. That's a secular scenario that was put out there to have people question the truth of the first church being called Christians.
So you don't think that the Greeks could have projected the real
I don't care what the Greeks could have thought. They don't have nothing to do with Israelites and Christians because what? We taught the Gentiles. So whatever they were dealing with, who could care? I could care less about what the Greeks were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We taught the Greeks. We taught the Romans. So I advise you to erase that and learn again. Okay? All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Have a good night.
All right. Someone calling from Africa.
Hello?
Now, see, hold on, before you go there, brother, the reason I had to do that, brothers and sisters, because this is what happens. They don't understand what happens when they start pulling little threads of philosophy. Greeks were known for philosophy. And what she don't realize, what she's breaking down is what atheists use to discredit the New Testament and say other people are being called Christians. And now the whole philosophy comes with that on the outside of the Bible that actually oppose the book she claims to believe in. See? So when you start pulling threads, where would it lead? That means the Bible isn't true when it says they were called Christians first there. See? And so if I can start questioning that, then, hey, who's to say that we're really Israelites? Maybe the Babylonians called some other people Israelites at a certain time before we were called Israel, unconfirmed. You see how far this goes, folks? Beware lest anyone spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. You have to know the intentions of why they've been putting that out there so that it can discredit the Christians Christ established. That's why it was put out there.
Right.
Yes, brother. Elder Lord, you got something to say on that, or are you good?
I'm good.
All right. Okay, we got a brother. Are you from Africa?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom. And I'm just trying to say, I'm trying to help brothers and sisters out real quick before you go on.
Come, sir.
Because some people will be Googling stuff and think that, you know, that they've found the gate that leads into paradise. Oh, they never talked about this. I found Christo. I found the original Greeks. I'm telling her that I was debating a guy on the street who came with that nonsense 20-something years ago. And say, okay, what is the origin of your source? And you know what I heard from that? Crickets. But crickets. Yes, brother.
Shalom, Elder. I'm speaking
Shalom,
from
Shalom, happy Passover.
Happy Passover, sir. And it's a refreshing moment. This Limwell.
I know it is. How you doing, Limwell? Happy Passover. How was your Passover?
Happy Passover, sir. And then happy Passover.
Told you we're going into some deep water.
Lawyer Elder Gaba. Yes, sir. Yeah, so just a quick one on the lady's comments. I think it ended when she said, it is not in the Bible. What I want our brethren to know that the Bible is our constitution, and everything ends in that. So anything that has nothing to do with the Bible, we have nothing to do with that. So that was where the conversation ended for me. But first and foremost, I would want to thank the Most High and also thank you for allowing yourself once and again. I will always say that for Most High to use you mightily. You are being used to save a whole, I mean, generation all across the world. And I thank the elders, able men who are beside you, the lawyer, the Gaba, and all the elders, Bishop, Deacon, and Deaconesses, and all those who are involved administratively. We had a great good night, two nights here, and when I saw the footages at Pittsburgh, I said, wow, this is something else. What I see and what I feel, Musa raising a community within this crooked and perverse generation. When we see the love out there, the unity, some of the brethren were commenting and said, this thing, I mean, is so awesome. And we thank the Most High so much for, I mean, raising you. I know you've gone through a lot, but we know that you've been able to stand in all these tests, the trials. It is often not by yourself, but Most High was with you. And we in Africa want to assure you, as we always do, we are behind you solidly every single day. We are praying for you and the entire elders, the leadership of GOCC. I always say, people this, GOCC, we trace our lineage or our background from that first century church that Yeshaya through the apostles established. Because anybody who take time keenly to really go into it, you realize that everything that is being taught by GOCC is what the first century were being taught. We're talking about the doctrines of Christ. And look at the Passover. I'm in Africa. And when I see the time, the calendar, we, in spring season, in Africa, you see it clearly, the changing of the season, longer days, shorter nights, long, and then longer days. You see it flawlessly. And I'm so grateful to the Most High for bringing us to this, I mean, body. I mean, upon that time, we will tell our story, how we came in and all that. I know the right time will come. And it's amazing. We feel so much at home. We here, we had two great nights, and it was amazing. And indeed, like a brother said earlier on, there was something else. And he also even, I mean, attested to it that, yes, you have seen Passover again and again, but this one, there was something special. Yes, we are getting closer. As the scripture says, our salvation is nearer than when we believed, and that is what is going on. So we thank the Most High. And we want also, I mean, also to thank you that we were praying, hey, people of the Macedonia, turn unto us, come and help us, come and help us. And gradually, we are getting there. I thank you so much, Elder. I thank Elder Gaba, for being able to help us, get in contact, guiding us, and now under Elder Shapat or something else. And we are very much humble and grateful. The body is so poised. We had a great opening, Elder Shapat speaking with the whole body here in Ghana, where we have three body coming together from Accra, Kumasi, and then that of Cape Coast. And there's a part opening the ground for us on Skype video, and it was amazing. And we want to say that Elder Mosa continue to protect you, grant you wisdom. And our one prayer we always pray, that he continue to protect you and deliver you from wicked and unreasonable men, and open doors for this gospel to reach the hinterland. And I know this is just the beginning. We are building the momentum building up everywhere, and we thank you for that. It is our time. Africa is our time, and we are ready for it. And Elder, thank you so much. This is what I just wanted to say, that thank you so much, and Musa, continue to bless and protect the work that he's using it to do. Shalom. Shalom.
Well, thank you, brother. And yes, you'll see us very soon. Shalom. Brother from Shalom. Ghana, holding it down. All right.
Kind
of. Holding it down in Ghana. Oh, yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to be there soon enough.
Elder, you know me. I've been pushing to Boston Good to start opening up churches in Africa for a long time, so I'm very excited to hopefully the Most High start opening up the doors for us to do some traveling and spread this gospel to the four corners.
Oh, yeah, it's happening. Okay, yeah, just get ready. Get ready. Like that song that song y'all heard called Ba-Ba. Y'all going to be hearing that soon. 773 area code, last call for the night. And get ready, we may call next week's broadcast, Babylon is in deep water. 773 area code. Last call for this evening. Shalom. Watch out. Don't go into the water. And guess what? Jaws, you don't have to worry about Jaws. I'm going to tell you that right now. Don't go into the water. Okay? Last call for this evening. Shalom. You're live? Okay, someone messing with their phone. All right, Mika, 323 area code. How you doing, Mika?
Hello. I'm Mika. I'm from the tribe of Judah.
Hey,
COCC,
how are you?
California. I'm doing fine. And I know that the Most High was getting me prepared for the truth years before I knew the truth. Because the way he used the chest.
Hold on. Someone asked and didn't know why it's this picture here. This is the woman who's this is the quote unquote woman that's shattering the records for women's swim teams all around the earth. You know what I mean? Identifying. You know?
Oh, praise you.
So that's what's going on in Babylon right now. So if your little girl get in the water, y'all seen Man on Fire when Denzel hit those sticks. And when this jump off, this guy's already at the end. It's already at the end of the pool before they get in. But we're going to be talking about that next week. Okay. But go on. Babylon and deep waters. Mika, what you have to say?
Yeah, so like I said, the Most High was preparing me for the truth years before I even knew the truth, because he used to like chastise me so tough to the point where I used to be like, do he hate me? Because I'm like, the things that were happening to me, I didn't really see it happening to other people that were around me to that extent. Like if certain sins I would commit, I would get punished to the max.
Hey, listen. I was just being facetious, okay? What y'all seen in those waters real quick was a full man in a woman's bathing suit, shattering women records. Okay, but go on, sister. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So now I understand why the Most High chasing me the way he did. Because I was very hard-headed, you know. There would be things that he would tell me not to do, and I would do them. And I would do wrong things knowing that they were wrong. But the way he chastened me, you know, it put this fear in me. And it's helping me to be so obedient to him now because of those chastisements. And I tried to help my mom. Now she's passed away.
Sorry about that. When you say chastisement, what do you mean by chastisement? What did you know? What was going on that had you know that the hand of God was in your life chastising you? Like, what happened? His presence is purging me. What was going on?
Okay. Well, for one, he spoke to me one time, okay? Like the way you're talking to me right now, like I know it sounds crazy, but he spoke to me. There was this guy that I really liked, and I was getting ready to get in the shower, and I heard a voice tell me, leave him alone. And so when I got out the shower, it was like a welt underneath my eye, and it looked like a long teardrop, but it was like a welt, you know. It's just the way it looked. And I continued to see the guy, okay? I didn't stop, despite the voice I heard. And
okay.
I losing my job, wrecking my car, the guy became a drug addict. Like all the blessings that the Most High had given me, he literally
everything was taken away. Everything
took
was taken
all
away.
Away.
Yeah,
after
yeah.
I didn't
I can
listen
understand.
To that voice, and I was just so disobedient. You know, he chose me, but let me tell you, I went through a lot because I was so disobedient. But now I understand why he was so hard on me, because now I'm a totally different person. Like, I just got baptized about 2 weeks ago under his name, you know, and I'm grateful for that.
So did you go
even,
to the Passover? Were you at the Passover?
Nah, by that time it was too late because, you know,
okay.
my church was telling me that I'd have to be baptized before the Passover. And
yeah.
I had got baptized right
because it's
before,
all baptized
so by then
membership.
It was
only baptized membership.
Yeah, and another experience I went through when I went to jail, that was another chastisement from my disobedience. He allowed me to
man,
go to
you,
jail.
Man,
yeah,
you've been getting,
and
you,
this
you
is
went
what,
through it. How old are you? How old are you, sister? How old are you?
Well, right now I'm 41.
Okay. And what area? What area? What church you were baptized under?
GOCC, California.
Oh, there it is. Well, we'll be seeing you soon also. Well, we're about to break down, sister, because we're past the time. You have the last, I'll give you about 30 seconds, and then we have to make a few announcements. But you got 30 seconds.
Okay.
I'd like to thank you all for your participation tonight. You're calling in, showing you that the curses of the holiday celebration have been taken off our people. And, hey, the saints are about to come marching in. And I believe, like I mentioned last week, that the Most High is using this church as a key component to gather the children of Israel throughout the four corners of the earth before the end comes. And there's no better place I would rather be than in this church right now. I thank the Most High for it. This is an extended family. It's nothing like it. I've been in churches all my life, and I would tell you, there's something different about this. And I'm not just saying it because I'm a part of it. It's something genuine when you got people who come around and who can operate in their own spirit. No one is actually, you know, becoming a cardboard cutout of another leader. Everyone have their own unique spirit. I mean, Houston sent me a box of nothing but, you know, just they gave me a. They see me drinking tea all the time and sent me a cup with a lion on it with my name on it and had a sympathy card for my mother, and they didn't send Rice Krispies. They sent Christ Krispies, different flavors, milk and honey. And I'm like, there's something different when it comes to this. And I'm just saying this church teaches me something every time we come together. I mean, it's just genuine love and family. What we would have expected in a church family from the beginning. I just thank the Most High for this church. I mean, they sent me Christ Krispies. I mean, look what we have here. Hold on, sister.
Okay.
Look, I got stuff over here. And just hearing you were baptized. I mean, look, this is a Hebrew child by Zakar Zapah. Look at this stuff that they're doing in the name of the Most High. Little reading books. With real life stories of Hebrew children, with Christ's name in it. Look at this stuff. Published books. You think I've seen any of this just teaching the word of the Most High? There's puzzles in here. Color me in. A little boy with a mitre with a little princess next to him. I mean, it's, who would have known any of this? I mean, it's just overwhelming,
yeah.
The miracle, the prophecy this church has become. It's deeper. It's an extended family. It's
yeah.
a family. It's not just a church. It's Christ's body. And it's like, I'm just seeing the unique gifts within every person in this church. And now I understand more so than ever what it means when Christ stated, the kingdom cometh not by observation. It's within you. It was in us the whole time, every unique spirit. We're all a part of Christ's body with a unique gift that will do what? That will have us sustained through this trouble. Elder Rikashar ain't going to be able to do it by himself. Everyone is going to have their own gift that's going to come to the forefront to protect us in due time. And that's what I noticed in that gathering, not just here in Pittsburgh, in California. You got brothers calling us from Africa, sisters just calling up saying she's been going through all types of spiritual attacks and are now baptized in this church, who also have gifts to bring to this work. This, let me tell you, this work is well beyond Elder Rikashar and the Gathering of Christ Church. This is a working that Christ is doing within his body. And I'm just thinking the Most High that the Most High can use us, humbly use us to facilitate so that we can actually be here to be used as vessels to bring forth this kingdom. Sister, you got the last word.
All right. I just want to say two things, and it'll be very brief.
Okay, go on.
I
took your time, so I'll give you 1 minute. Flo.
Okay. So where I ended at was me being incarcerated, but then that's when my relationship got more close with the Most High. And would you believe it if I told you this, that one morning I was just laying in my bed in my cell, and I heard two angels having a conversation in a heavenly language, but I didn't know what they were saying.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just didn't think you would believe me, but I did. I heard two angels.
Well, there's nothing, hey, sister, listen. It tells us in the Bible when it comes to speaking in tongues, right? When it comes to tongues, it tells you that unless you understand the language, or unless there's an interpreter, and I understand you're going through things, and for the first time, you're able to express them publicly. But it tells you in the church that those things have to be kept separately unless there's an interpreter. There's a lot of spiritual phenomenon things that we've all gone through. But there's things for everyone else, and there's things that's private between me and the Most High.
I think I
spoke to you about that before when I said there's a reason when Christ was dealing with his temptation for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, that the Most High moved him away from the regular population. Because the world would have thought he was crazy sitting there speaking to a spirit that no one else could see. You got it? We have to know how to interact, when to be in season and out of season. When it comes to spiritual things like that, these are only to yourself with private conversations. Because the world isn't ready to receive something that's not verified unless it be before two or more witnesses. I'm just letting you know, because we all have gifts, but we have to know when to operate in season or out of season. When is it due time to say what I need to say? Whether it's right or wrong has nothing to do with it. Whether it's more so whether or not it's in season or not in season, right?
Okay.
So if you heard two spirits operating or speaking, that was between you and the Most High. But unless there was an interpreter there, you're supposed to keep things like that private.
All right. Thank you for that wisdom.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
I know
my
time
because
is
I'm going to tell you, sis, you're not the only one who have dealt with spiritual interactions. So, but it's my position in to edify when people are listening. My spiritual things that I've gone through and all that, the reason why I don't even talk about that, because our people will look at us differently, right?
Okay.
They will, because it's now, that's why people try to say, I'm prophets, I'm this, I'm that, I do. The Most High is dealing with all of us spiritually. But it's upon the church to do what, sister? to edify. To edify. Unless everyone can understand why that interaction took place with witnesses to be able to interpret those languages, it's to be kept between the individual, because that's when the Most High is speaking to you alone. I'm not correcting you. I'm showing you how to operate in the spirit, privately opposed to public.
Okay, and this is the second thing. There's one last thing, Elder, because I said it.
No, Sister, I'm already past the time, Sister. I'm sorry. So you got to either call me privately.
I was going to pray for my husband because he had a stroke. That's all.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. What's your husband's name?
His name is Ardell Holmes. Ardell Holmes?
Yeah.
Ardell Holmes. He had a mild stroke.
Sorry to hear about that. Well, make sure we say a prayer for him, okay, Sister?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sister.
Okay, Shalom.
And while you're there, let me read the scripture I'm talking about, because I believe the Christian church should outright what I'm talking about right now, because Paul spoke about it in the epistles, right? He spoke about that, speaking in tongues and all of these things. It was spoken of in the epistles, and how to operate, how to interact when that is going on. It tell you that in 1 Corinthians 14. Let me get it real quick. And I you know what? I'm going to touch on that in the academy too, because this speaking in tongues thing and these languages is a big thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of Christians out there, they don't really know the significance of Babylonian and Roman channeling.
Yeah.
Where it's not just good spirits coming through. Any spirit can come through.
Yeah.
Because you're opening up a channel or a frequency. So the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 14 and 4, it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So an individual spiritual experience is separate from a church experience. 5, I would that all spake with tongues. That means Paul says, I wish that we all understood languages, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues.
Mm-hmm.
Except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is, how do we know whether or not what was being spoken was from the Almighty? Because there's evil spirits down here too, including Satan, who appears as an angel of light. So our people open up all types of avenues and windows, and sometimes it's not just us. Sometimes there's people around us that are praying demons and spirits that are walking in and engaging in the communities that are in our homes that we think is really a righteous experience, but really poltergeist.
Yeah, Elder, may I say something?
Right?
Elder.
I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there, because a lot of brothers just don't realize that we be diving into things, but without edifying, you must discern if it was sent from heaven or the devil is chilling up next to you.
Yeah.
And that's why Paul said, well, no, you're not bringing no new tongues that no one understands and babbling up in this church, unless somebody in here understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
If no one knows this language, you got to edify alone. And if it is spiritual, if it's not for the church to understand, it's spiritual for you.
Yeah.
It's what the Most High want you to understand. It's nothing that should be shared with others. I believe the Christian church should be teaching this outright so that people come to church to be edified and not become individual spiritual zealots by thinking that they have a special gift through speaking a language that no one understands.
Yeah.
But I digress. Go ahead, Elder.
if I could be quick, I believe, Elder, you should add that lesson of speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
In the academy, because you got to remember, all these names, Crypto Dollar, all the super churches.
Yeah.
Mega churches, whatever you want to call them today, all the main, all the names of these pastors, today.
Yeah.
They all speak in tongues.